Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. Along with Ross Tucker, I'm Jim Galante, and this week we have a very special guest, one of the all-time Nittany Lion greats at linebacker, Brandon Short. Brandon, first of all, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Jim. I really appreciate being on the show. I'm excited to talk a little football, talk a little, you know, Board of Trustees and you know, Penn State at large.
Well, I know all our listeners are anxious to hear from you. I'm going to toss it right over to Ross and let him have the first shot with you, Brandon.
Yeah, Brandon, good to talk with you, man. It's funny, I didn't realize I had to go back and look it up, I guess. I don't remember hitting you that many times, but I know I started against you 2002 when I was with Dallas and you were with New York, 2003 when I was with Buffalo. And you were in New York, so the first year, the Dallas one, we got smoked. The Buffalo one, we got you guys pretty good. So I had to go back and look up and see how many times we actually played against each other.
We locked horns plenty of times out there. We have to go pull some old tape out of the archive so we can see who won that one-on-one battle. I'm only pulling it out if I win.
You know, well, so look, I want to get into a bunch of Penn State football stuff in a little bit, but I think it's only right to just start and by asking you, because I'm sure people are curious. And Jim, by the way, Brandon, just so you know my background, I grew up a Penn State season ticket holder, Penn State fan. Unfortunately or fortunately, whatever, I was a late bloomer. Didn't get offered a scholarship, so I said, if I can go to Princeton for football, I'm going to go. So I always tell this story. Jim knows this. My rookie year with Washington, LeVar Arrington was there, and Sarah Melly and Kenny Watson, and they were all telling me I would have been like, me and Kareem would have been your best offensive line. I was like, la, 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 I can't hear you, la, 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 because that was my dream, you know? So anyway, I bring that up to say I could do this every week, Jim. I could talk to a former Penn State guy. And it's almost like the old Sports Illustrated, where are they now? You know, like what are they doing now? So I'll start with that question, Brandon, because I think a lot of Penn State fans, a lot of Penn State alums would love to know, what are you up to now?
Well, so when left Penn State, you know, I had a 7-year career, in NFL, 5 with the Giants, 2 with the Panthers, went to Columbia Business School, and started working at Goldman Sachs in real estate investment banking in New York. And in early 2012, I moved to Dubai with Goldman Sachs as well. And in early 2015, I moved to London, where I now do real estate private equity. In 2018, I became an alumni elected member to Penn State's Board of Trustees. And I can say with a full heart that besides being a father and a husband, being on Penn State's board is the most rewarding thing that I do. I mean, I see the effect that we have on affordability and on, you know, people's lives, and we're making real decisions.
Wow, that is awesome. Well, I want to get into that with you because I'm curious. I don't know a whole lot about Board of Trustees, really at any school, to be honest with you. And I'm quite sure I would not get elected to the Princeton one. I'm pretty confident. confident they've got way more qualified people than me on the Princeton Board of Trustees.
Don't sell yourself short, though. They might be scared of you.
Brandon,
muscle your way onto that thing.
Yeah, Brandon, I'm so impressed. Before we get into the Board of Trustees thing, because that is interesting, so impressed by Columbia Business School and Goldman Sachs and what you're doing now. Do you enjoy it? You know, obviously you're doing it and you're in London. So just tell the listeners a little bit about, you know, being a former Penn State football player, NFL player living in London, and also how much you enjoy what you do for a living now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm living the dream. And, you know, one of the things about Penn State, and I'm sure you had this at Princeton as well, is that, like, we always focused on using, you know, football or sports as a platform to where you wanted to be. Like Joe Paterno used to always tell us that one thing you know that every football player is going to be a former football player, and you have to have the ability to see past your nose. I was fortunate enough to get drafted to the New York Giants, and being in New York amongst financial leaders, I was, you know, philanthropic on boards with these titans of industry, and they said, look, you got to get in, you're smart, you know, you're driven, you should take a look at finance. So I took a look at it, and, you know, I said, this is what I want to do. So I went to Columbia, and like everything, you know, like Ross, you know, we're competitors, you want to be the best at what you do. People thought that Goldman was one of the top banks, so I wanted to go there. And, you know, I found that my experience, you know, at sports, you know, at first when I got there, I thought I was at like a disadvantage to a lot of the people who had worked in McKinsey or, you know, that had come from these other, you know, like really quantitative backgrounds. But in the medium and long run, I saw that I had an advantage. All the lessons that sports has taught us, getting up off the ground when you get hit. You know, you're always going to have a difficult time, but it's not what you do. It's how you react to it. Working in a team, not pointing your fingers at each other when something goes wrong. That really worked to my advantage. And it caused me to excel. And I moved to Dubai and lived in Dubai. And it's a different world. And I learned a ton about working with people from different religions, different cultural backgrounds. And now I'm in London buying and selling real estate, doing what I love to do.
Wow, that is unbelievable, man. That is so impressive. And, you know, it really takes me back to what they used to call it, the grand experiment, right? With Joe Paterno and you guys cleanly shaven and you go to class and all that stuff. That is awesome, man.
Yep.
And you know what? You're not just, you know, making the big bucks doing real estate in London. You're giving back on the board of trustees. That is really interesting for you to say that it's one of the most rewarding things that you've done. I would just like you to expound upon that. Like why did you want to get into it in the first place?
Well, I mean, I've been blessed with a lot. You know, I came from a tough background, and it took a village to get me to where, you know, I am. You know, my grandmother, other important people in my life, and Joe Paterno was a big part of that. But it was more than just Joe. It was Tom Bradley. It was the entire, you know, Penn State community. When I went out and, you know, like was trying to figure out what I was going to do after I was playing, done playing, it was like John Schaefer, Tim Freeman, Scott Gobb, all that Penn State family, they rallied around me and they really helped me. And because I've been blessed with so much, I feel like I have a responsibility to give back, and I want to give back to the university that has done so much for me. And, you know, I saw people that I respected and admired, and they were on the board, and I wanted to learn a little bit more about what they did. And once I learned that what they did, I said, you know what, I think that I could do a pretty good job at that.
So, man, every time you talk, I get like three more questions in my head. This is how I operate. Love hearing that, by the way, about John Schaefer and those guys. I mean, I don't know if you grew up a Penn State fan, Brandon, but when Penn State beat Miami in the 1986 national championship, yeah, with John Schaefer, quarterback, that's like still one of the 20 best moments of my life. And I was 7 years old at my house in Reading, Pennsylvania, watching that and getting excited about it. So that's great to hear that the football players as alums stick together and help each other. Specifically, I guess, on the Board of Trustees, you know, I guess a lot of the listeners here, they care primarily about the football part of it, right? They care about the football. Yeah. Well, I guess I'll ask this, Brandon. How long are the appointments on the Board of Trustees, and how often do you come up for a re-election or whatever?
Well, the appointments, there's 33 members of the board, and there's the governor is a member of the board, and there's multiple appointees, but there's nine alumni seats, and those alumni seats come up every 3 years, and I'm currently in an election right now. Voting has begun, and you know, we're out trying to encourage people to get out and vote.
Wow, so think about this. Think about how much it must mean to you to be on the board, that you're actually, you know, you're coming on shows like this. You care that much about it that you are, I don't want to say campaigning, but you're making sure your name is out there and people know that it's important to you.
Certainly.
It's got to be important to you to take the time. You got a lot of busy stuff going on, man. It's got to be pretty important to you to take the time to try to make sure you get reelected after 3 years. You could have said, you know what? I put my 3 years in. I gave back. Now I'm going to do it. No. You want another 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, and there are 700,000 eligible voters. I mean, and every Penn Stater who's graduated over 700,000 has the ability to vote, but only 15,000 people vote. And they do that because in the past, because everyone tends to agree. But this year, there's a real choice on the ballot. There are people that are running that want to de-emphasize athletics. And Penn State has a proud tradition of leveraging athletics to enhance the entire university. You know, success in athletics brings higher student applications, which allows us to increase or maintain our academic standards, alumni giving, and boost the local economy. And the unique thing about Penn State is that our athletic department budget is completely self-funded. It's independent from the rest of the university. So our investments don't have an effect on tuition or employee salary. So there's people that just have a philosophical difference and want to de-emphasize athletics.
Okay, all right. So I didn't really care that much, but now I do. Okay, now I'm mad. All right, Brandon, because I watch every Penn State game, and I'm on the Keystone Sports Network, and I talk about it. So de-emphasizing athletics, that's not what I'm here for. If they're going to do that, they should do that somewhere like Princeton, where I went to school. I'm not letting that happen at Penn State. Go ahead, Brandon.
Well, even at Princeton, though, there's still it's not de-emphasized. Like, you're a Princeton athlete, Princeton basketball. Like, you have to think about that Penn State is an institution of higher learning first, you know, first and foremost. But you have to think about the athletic department as the marketing department. And universities is like homes. And if you see if there's a beautiful home for sale, but the landscaping is overgrown, you're not going to open up the door and see what it has to offer. But when it's beautifully landscaped, you're going to go up, open up the door, and see all the wonderful things that Penn State has to offer. And that's an analogy of the value of, you know, the athletic department, with alumni giving, with increased demand for applications, recruiting faculty, staff, research. The return on investment is exponential, but yet there are people out there that have a philosophical agreement. Disagreement with you know, making those type of investments.
Wow, that is really interesting. So it's funny because Princeton, this surprises people, they have 38 Division I varsity sports. Like, sports are important. And the whole motto at Princeton, which is perennially named the number one school in the country, is education through athletics. That's literally the motto, is they believe that that's a big part of the academic process, is competing in athletics. So I didn't know that Penn State's athletic department was self-funded either. That's interesting. How does Penn State, how does Penn State compare against Ohio State, Michigan, et cetera, when it comes to, you know, the football budget? I mean, all sports, Brandon, but again, I care primarily about football.
So just to give you some shocking numbers, to be clear, Penn State's athletic investments have zero effect on tuition, zero effect on employee salary. But over the past 10 years, Michigan and Ohio State have outspent Penn State by $246 million and $390 million respectively. And that, yet some people still want to de-emphasize athletics to make that gap even wider. So that it's we need to make strategic investments. I'm not necessarily saying we need to match that type of investment, but we've been fortunate enough to have coaches that have been fantastic coaches. Joe Paterno, the best coach of all time, Bill O'Brien, fantastic coach, James Franklin. They've been able to do more with less, but eventually that's going to catch up with us. And, you know, the impact on the university, and the local economy would be devastating.
So, totally agree with you, by the way. I'd be curious now, Jim. I don't know if we could get him on, but I'd love to hear the other side of the argument, because I certainly don't really understand it. Especially, there's no question that Joe Paterno and the Penn State football program elevated the entire university. It's not even up for debate. You know, one thing that's cool for me, Brandon, talking with you, is the reverence you have for Joe Paterno. I mean, you just call him the best coach of all time. You know, it's good to hear.
Because he was.
It's good to hear that, right? It's good to hear that because, you know, with the way everything ended, it's like it's been a while since I heard someone really talk positive about Joe Paterno. Why, in your mind, was he the greatest coach of all time?
What most people don't realize, Joe was the winningest coach of all time, but could have won another 50 to 100 games. When you were the best players did not play at Penn State. You had to go to class. If you didn't go to class, it was like you had missed a practice. You had to be – you couldn't wear hats in the building. You couldn't do – with so many things that were called the Paterno way. Joe would have spies that if you were in academic trouble, he would go have people look at and see whether you were in class. And then after practice, he would call everybody up. You know, Jones missed his sociology class today. He's the best receiver we got, but he'll never play here unless he goes to sociology class. So he's letting all of you down. So that's why we had the highest graduation rate of any top 25 team, you know, over the 50 year term when Joe Paterno was the coach. It was these little things that we did that differentiated us. That we had something that was called like Joe time, where, you know, if a meeting started at 5 o'clock, like you could show up at 4:50 and have missed most of the meeting. And the meeting would start whenever Joe arrived. So now I am totally conscious of time. I don't want to be disrespectful of anybody's time. I'm there like early all the time. We had breakfast that, you know, if you didn't have a class all day, you had to wake up and go to breakfast and there was somebody checking you in. And if it was you missed breakfast, it was like you missed a class or missed a practice. So guys didn't play for missing breakfast when days that they didn't have any class. So there was just a way about going about doing things that, or if you keep taking care of those little things, the big things take care of themselves. And we won because of that. And we didn't win because of that, because we sacrificed winning for building character and building good human beings.
You know, it's awesome to hear that. And you really, you're kind of like the textbook example of the investment in athletics, getting a kid from McKeesport to be working for Goldman Sachs and in Dubai, you know, selling real estate. I mean, you're a great example of that. I got to ask you, you talk so glowingly about Joe Paterno. What are your thoughts on James Franklin? Have you had much interaction with him? What do you think of what Franklin's done with the program?
I think James has done, you know, a tremendous job. You know, he obviously looks a little different. He has a, it's a 21st century view with social media going out, but there are the same Penn State values. When I talk to the kids, you know, I talk to, you know, Jesse Lucchetta or Micah Parsons, is yes, so, no, sir. You know, I appreciate you. You know, they stress community service and they stress academics. They built a program there where people graduate in 3.5 years. So even if you come and you leave Penn State, you want to leave early, you're graduating. So the graduation is key. Being a good person is key. And, you know, it's 21st century. You know, James is much different than Joe, but at the core principles of the Penn State values are the same.
You mentioned Micah Parsons. You know, we got the NFL draft coming up in a couple weeks. He's projected to go really high. What are your thoughts on Micah? I don't know how often, you know, you're living in London, how often you get a chance to watch the games, but just your thoughts of Micah as a player and NFL prospect.
Well, I watch every game religiously and, you know, talk to Micah, you know, regularly. He's a linebacker in LBU and he's a part of like our long lineage, and any team that gets Micah is going to be lucky to have him. And I'm going to go high. Like, he probably won't go number one, but anybody that misses, doesn't pick him, they're going to regret not taking him. The man runs faster than Saquon Barkley, just to put that in perspective. I'm not going to throw his 4.3 number, but he's faster than Saquon Barkley. And he's coming to meet you with bad intentions, you know, on the field.
Yeah, he absolutely is. Brandon, that's how you played, man. I mean, I still – that 99 defense, man, and that year – now I was actually a junior in college at that point. I remember watching the Arizona game. You know, what was your fondest memory as a player during your time?
Oh, I mean, let me see. There's so many. I mean, I was on the field for Joe's 300th win. You know, I can't speak to one specific memory. I mean, winning the Fiesta Bowl, like we were the number one ranked team in the country for 3 years for starting the season when I stayed, and we never won it. So we didn't have that crescendo, but you know, just being a part of the Penn State family, you know, being in the locker room around the guys and just the uniqueness of Penn State. You know, we have our chant. You come into our stadium, you hear, "We are Penn State. We are Penn State." But unless you're there, you don't realize it. That thing ends with "Thank you" and "You're welcome." But when I was being recruited, my grandmother was trying to figure out where I was going to go, and she heard "Thank you" and "You're welcome," and then like she was like, "Oh, you like they had her at hello."
You know? No way. Your mom loved Penn State because at the end of "We Are Penn State," they say "Thank you, you're welcome."
Well, it was my mom passed away. It was my grandmother, and that's why like she pushed me toward. Yeah, you know, she pushed me towards Penn State. Even though I was in my youth and ignorance, Ross, I was actually a Pitt fan, and that's a 4-letter word to old school Penn State people. But you know, Curtis Martin is from McKeesport. You know, so like I was like really, you know, wanted to beat like Alex Van Pelt. I remember all those guys that used to play down there. Ironhead Hayward. I was a Pitt fan, but I was converted when I went up and saw the campus. And, you know, my grandmother pushed me towards it because the focus on success with honor and then leveraging that football program to have a positive impact on the university. And like she wanted that for me. And I looked at you and said, you know what, this is for me.
Yeah. Well, Brandon, so enjoy talking with you, man. And like I said earlier, you are the example of the Penn State way. So cool to hear what you're doing now and the fact that it's this important to you to stay on the Board of Trustees. Man, I hope you stay on the Board of Trustees. I hope everybody listening goes out and votes for you because they can. I'm not an alum, so I'm pretty sure they won't let me vote. But I hope they all vote for you because obviously you deserve it. And secondly, I really don't want that de-emphasis of athletics. That's not good, I don't think, for anybody. So good luck to you, man. I really hope you get a chance to get another 3 years. Very impressed with everything you're doing. And I think it's awesome that you want to be back on the board.
Yep. Thank you very much. There are six people on the ballot and three places open, three open spots. So if you want to vote, go to trustees.psu.edu and request your ballot and vote for Brandon Short, Steve Wagman, and Alvin DeLevy. That's Brandon Short, Steve Wagman, and Alvin DeLevy.
Love it. I'm on it. I'm going to get everybody I know that's a Penn Stater to vote for you.
Yep. All right. We got to get them. We got to get out there. There's a choice.
Thank you so much, Brandon, for joining us. You make all our Penn Staters very proud to be a Nittany Lion, even to the point where we will forgive you for that being a Pitt fan when you were young, okay?
I was a baby. I was born that way. That would be discrimination if you held that against me. I was born that way. I learned.
You outgrew it, though. You outgrew it. Thank you for that. Thanks so much. We'd love to have you on again sometime, Brandon. That is it for quarter number 3. Stick around in quarter number 4. Andrew P. Shea will be back.